Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to the show. Season finale. I'm here, Keith Razor, with my trusty sidekick, Alan Lee.
Hello out there, everyone.
Alan's playing with a laptop, and I have no idea why. It's not like we need it when we're on a show. But
no, I wanted to have it on tonight. Because I wanted to keep track of facts and figures. You don't mind.
Well, we really, truly don't need it. I find it very, very, very rude because you've never used it before.
I wanted to experiment. You know how we were experimenting for the second season, and I wanted to see if a laptop would fit on this table.
All right. Well, we experimented, and now okay. So last week, man, that was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, man, it was exciting. It was insane. It was just crazy. And I got to say, man, that the Love Master just was an experience. I learned so much.
We had Craig Shoemaker, the
Love Master, baby.
Yeah.
Love Master.
That was a great show.
Incredible.
But tonight we have a great show. We have the great Mike Young calling in. And for those of you who don't know, Mike is a phenomenal stand-up comedian. He's been on Comedy Central, Live Up to Gotham, The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. Ferguson, is that his name?
Craig Ferguson is it.
Ferguson.
Late Show.
Yeah, and he's written two movies, and he has a new movie coming out called A Stand-Up Guy, starring Bob Saget.
Bob Saget.
And comes out next week in the movie theaters. And he wrote and directed it.
Yeah. Michael Rapaport is in it, and he was also in the last film that Mike directed.
Oh, yeah. You know. So it's going to be cool, because Alan was always like, we need to get directors and stuff.
I did. And, I said that to you.
Little trivia note for true Razor Riff fans. We tried to get Mike Young on it the first season.
Did they get a prize? You can call in, and we'll give you free tickets.
No, you can't call in, because Mike Young is calling in.
We don't want the line to be busy. I'm so sorry. It was a technical.
Remember last time someone called in and ended up being my mom?
She's sweet. She really cares.
Oh, she is sweet.
She loves you. She cares.
She's
worried about you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And we got some great questions for Mike Young. And it's the season finale, but I just wanted to take this moment to thank all our guests this season.
Dittos.
Fred Stoller, Jeff Richards, Stephen Trevino, Debbie Gutierrez, Bobby Slayton, Bill Dwyer. Man, that was a fun episode.
Debbie.
Argus Hamilton, another great episode. You had Ron Lynch.
Yes. Thank you, Ron.
Ron Lynch. And then Norm MacDonald.
Ron had me on his show at midnight, and I performed for Ron in the crowd. It was wonderful.
All right. Then we had Norm MacDonald. That was a great episode.
Yeah.
And then Craig Shoemaker, and now Mike Young, who is calling right now.
Debbie Gutierrez.
Whatever. Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, buddy?
Not much. Thanks for doing the podcast, buddy.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it.
No doubt. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we tried to get you last year, but you were filming this movie that we're about to talk about.
Busy Man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, bro, filming a movie is not easy at all. No, podcasts do not come into play very often. I thought they would. I even tried to get my own going last year, and I was like, I'll just be able to do my podcast at the end of shooting. Yeah. Hell no. I was in bed at 8:15.
Yeah, shoot, man. That's rough.
Yeah, Mike, this is Alan Lee, the co-host of the...
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Mike sounds like a very nice guy. Sometimes they come after me, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't even know why, but he's not in the studio.
Yeah. If you were in the studio, guest usually chokes Alan to death.
They try to. Well, that's let's not go into that.
Would he be creeping me out like he sounds like he is right now?
No, come on. See, here we go. See, I thought about this. I kind of wondered.
Yeah. So,
what's going on?
Not much.
Yeah, man.
So, Mike, we have your film coming out next week. It's called A Stand-Up Guy, right?
a stand-up guy, yep.
Yeah, so tell us a little about the film.
I will. I wrote and directed it. It's starring Michael Rapaport, Danny A., Abacasser, Ethan Suplee, Jay Ferguson from Mad Men, Nick Cordero, Tony-nominated actor.
Wow.
Bob Saget is in it, and he plays a hilarious, like, redneck country singer that's heartbroken. And it's a comedy. It's my second comedy, and it comes out Tuesday, and it hits theaters and iTunes on demand. So I'm just we're just starting, like, the whole promotion machine is starting right now, but it's about a gangster that goes into the witness protection program. And while he's in the program, on a dare, he does stand-up one night. And obviously, it's not a good idea to become famous when you're in the witness protection program. And so, as he's in the program, he starts to become popular while the mob's trying to get him. And so, obviously, mayhem ensues after that, and I'll let you watch it to see how that unfolds.
Yeah. Well, it sounds very interesting. I saw the trailer, and I noticed Bob Saget in the commercial, and it was really it was really funny.
Saget's hilarious.
Yeah, you're actually on tour with Bob Saget right now, aren't you?
Yeah, Bob and I are touring. Yep, we got we just did Ontario, Detroit, Chicago, and then we've got West Palm. What do we got? We got West Palm, Boston, couple casinos. Right. And probably six more cities coming up. So we're just going to keep telling jokes and pubbing the movie, and hopefully it's just kick off a strong year.
Now, I had a question because, like, I actually I wrote a movie, and it took me about 7 months to write it, and that's just the first draft. You know, I'm still doing the edits for the second draft. How long did it take you to write this movie?
This movie, I was under a contract to write it within 3 months. So 12 weeks is my first draft.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually kind of like the standard. And so I try to go into like a 5 to 10 page discipline, you know, goal per day. And then I'll turn in the first draft after 3 months and then get the notes from the producers and then start to, you know, then start to just fine tooth comb it.
Yeah,
but it depends, man. Sometimes I can knock out a script in like 2 weeks if I'm flowing, you know. And then I have to go back, obviously, and it could take up to literally a year, you know, of changes and tweaks and this and that. But to get a first draft down, you know, I can bang it out pretty quickly. You know, 8 to 12 weeks, confident that I can get a good first draft in.
Yeah,
but yeah, man, it's a hell of a process, man.
But, like,
it ain't easy.
Do you like writing films? Because, like, I find it very peaceful. I mean, I know it's stress and stuff, but it's very, I think it's very peaceful when you're writing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love writing. I actually enjoy the process of writing. I love when I dive in, and then next thing I know, I'm fully just, I look up and it's 2 hours later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I love being in that zone. It's, to me, I love it almost as much as I love stand up.
Yeah.
You know, I really do love the process of writing. I've always written, even when I was a kid, I was writing. And it's a wild process, man, but one I definitely love, especially when I love the project. Yeah. I've done projects as a work for hire that I didn't love, and that's always tough. But, like, when you love the subject and you love your characters, you just want to get down with them, you know?
Yeah, I totally understand that. I mean, how many movies have you written?
This is my third. This is my third production. I wrote a movie called Grounded, starring Aaron Paul and Jeff Daniels, that will be out later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote My Man is a Loser, starring Stamos, Brian Callen, and Rappaport, that came out last July.
Yeah, I actually saw that on. It was in the Redbox.
Yeah. It's doing great. It's on iTunes and Amazon and all that. That movie's doing really well right now in the on demand world.
Yeah.
And so I wrote and directed that as well. And then this is my third movie to go into production. And I'm just writing away, bro. People are calling me to write, so I'm enjoying it while I can.
Wow.
Do you like which one do you prefer doing? Like directing? Like, do you enjoy directing more than writing? Because it's your art, you know what I mean? So you could do
whatever. Yeah, I mean, I love directing. It's really physically exhausting just because you're up, or, you know, when you're directing it, you are 24/7, you know what I mean? You're on it 24/7. So I love writing it and I love directing it, but yeah, directing is, it's a different brain. It's a different brain you're using. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm doing rewrites every single night because I'm directing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do love directing. It's a blast, man. It's a rush because mm-hmm. the same zone that you're in for writing, you're in it directing too, because mm-hmm. you look up and the day is gone and you just made 75 decisions, talked to 100 people, mm-hmm. you know, directed your actors, set up shots. It's heavy, man. It's heavy.
Let me ask you.
I love it. And I'm learning. I'm still learning a ton. You know, only directed 2 movies, but I am in full learning mode. And, you know, directing this movie got a lot easier than directing My Man Is a Loser.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Number one, because it was a smaller budget, but number two, just I just knew so much more. It was incredible.
Yeah.
What, you know, when you work with when you work with actors, and you yourself being a stand-up, and the actors are comedic, it's amazing the process that you must go through, because you're writing for actors and you know their persona, and I can see the creative element in that. And you said it was like writing. You find that you're really working with comedic actors and adjusting to their persona and working with them because you have to know them, just like a fellow comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for comedy especially, like knowing Brian Callen, knowing Michael Rapaport, knowing Stamos from My Man Is a Loser, I started to really write towards their personas because they were all individually so funny and did things real, you know, specific to their personalities.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. I've known Callen for years, and I looked at it very simply. Like, all I'm doing is my story's locked. I know the story. Next step is be funny and entertain.
Yeah.
And when you got guys that are that high level funny, like Callen and Rapaport,
sure.
I started to write towards their natural personalities because they're just, you know, they're hilarious. Sure. And Rapaport, you know, he's on another level.
Yeah.
He's one of the most talented dudes I've worked with.
Now, Mike, I have a question. What is it like directing your boss? Because technically Bob Saget is your boss because you tour with him and you're directing.
It's kind of funny, man, because we don't have a boss, you know, a boss employee relationship. So he's like, he's my boy, man. Like, I put him in the movie while we were already on tour, and I told him, I said, Bob, this is going to sound crazy, but I think I have a really fun little part for you in my new movie. He's like, if it's cool and I like the writing, I'll do it. And so he loved the part I gave him. And we just, you know, I was only, I don't even like to say I'm the boss. You know what I mean? Like, you are the boss as a director, but there's so many fucking moving parts and you got to stay flexible and you got to, you know, you got to just get along with your people to get the best performance out of them.
Yeah.
But there's no weirdness on the road because I get, you know, they pay me well. It's a cush gig, you know, when I'm with him on the road. He is not bossy at all.
But see, like, I open up for Norm Macdonald, and, like, you know, whenever, before he goes up, he's always like, oh, make sure you give me water and soda and coffee and. Then like right before I bring up, I was like, he's like, and don't bring me up until everyone gets like really loud, and then I'm gonna wait a couple minutes and make you do it again. And I was
then he's just torturing you for the hell of it for fun.
but no, I love Norm. I mean, he's one of my best friends. But I was just thinking, like, if I were to direct him in a movie, like, I'm just gonna get him back at everything. You know what I mean?
Well, oddly enough, I think Saget directed him in Dirty Work.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you're dealing with a guy with a totally different mentality too. Norm he's out there.
Yeah, he's out.
You know, so Saget, where Saget's more, you know, I don't know what Norm's upbringing is, but I mean, he's one of the funniest guys in the world. But some people, if they don't understand him, I could see that being a problem.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I love it, man, and I love Saget too. I saw Saget,
you know, people
at Ontario a couple of years ago, and he just killed it. And the thing is, he's so dirty.
I mean,
you know?
You don't get to work for 40 years straight without being something special. So people could talk shit about Saget; they could say what they want, but the guy's got a gift. And it's no mistake that he's been consistently working for this long in the business.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? He's as witty as anybody. He's as sharp as anybody. And when he puts his mind to it, he kills it on stage. So, you know, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
It's funny because I've been a fan of most of the people I've been working with and kind of like putting in mood. I was a fan of Rappaport's before I ever worked with them. So it was kind of, now we're good friends, but it was definitely kind of a thing I had to get over. You know what I mean? I had to get over being a fan.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now I'm supposed to be a collaborator.
Sure.
Oh, I totally understand that feeling. Because, like, you know, even when I do shows with Tom Arnold, you know, like, I was a huge fan growing up. And now it's like, now that I'm like a friend, it's like, I understand that feeling, man. It could be.
Yeah, and it goes both ways. Because sometimes you're a fan and you meet someone. And you go, oh, this person, I don't even want to be friends with them. You know what I mean?
That's true. Like, yeah, that's funny.
And that's Hollywood in general. It's like, I look at Hollywood, like, I've met a lot of celebs in Hollywood. I'm like, my boys from middle school are cooler. You know what I mean? Than some of these dudes that are, like, playing cool on television.
Yeah, isn't that wild? Yeah, that's the truth.
Hey, Mike, we have a Twitter question. How did the Young American Comedy Tour come to be, and is it still in circulation?
That's a great question. The Young American Comedy Tour came to be, and literally, I saw the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, then I saw Kings of Comedy, and then I was at the Comedy Store one night 7-8 years ago, and I looked around, and I looked at my friends, Sebastian, Brett Ernst, Tony Rock, Butch Bradley, Steve Byrne, Burt Kreischer. I looked around and I said, if these guys over there can make millions of dollars on the road right now, then my little crew of friends should at least be able to make like hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know? Wow. Like, we're not that far off of funny from these other people. And so I literally just went to everybody and I said, out of just thin air, because I didn't know what I was going to do, and I never put a tour together before. And I said, we're going to put a tour together. We're going to take pictures. I'm going to call it the Young American Comedy Tour. I'm going to go to the head office of the Improvs, and I'm going to ask to get dates. Literally, I had no idea what I was doing. I walked into the office, and the head of the Improv at the time, the booker, Aaron, she literally gave me 8 cities right away.
Wow.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And so all of a sudden, like, the Young American Comedy Tour was born. It was just born right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the most amazing things we've ever done. We ran it for 3 years with interchangeable parts. You know, Brett, Sebastian, Tony, whoever, you know, Bobby Lee, Renazizi, mm-hmm. they were all on the tour at different cities. Mm-hmm. And I owned the tour. So, needless to say, I was exhausted because, as you know, dealing with comedians, I was trying to get everybody to be on the same page as me so that we could have, like, this multi-million-dollar idea, but they were fucking lazy, you know? I was doing all the artwork and I was doing the marketing and,
well,
you know,
sure.
I was waking people up for radio and guys were getting in fights on the road. We had a blast, don't get me wrong. And it was successful, but it came out of just like an idea that my friends are funnier than everybody else I know. Why are we not on tour working together?
Yeah.
And I always think like comedians, what people don't realize is funny is money in this town. And it's like, if comedians wouldn't have such a every man for himself attitude, then if we came together, we could be forming like camps of like how Apatow's got his camp and Will Ferrell's got his camp.
Yeah.
And, you know, all these different dudes have their little cliques. Mm-hmm. It's like from stand-up comedy, we've got the funniest minds in the game.
That's true.
But
yeah.
to get them disciplined is another beast, you know?
That takes a lot more preaching than Yeah, because stand-up comedians, I don't think, like to listen. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm guilty of that, too. You know, like, people will say, oh, don't do this joke, and then I won't purposely not do it, but it's just I'm so used to doing my act. You know what I mean?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Then the casting, the casting directors are a little bit tentative about a stand-up comedian.
Because they're a little tougher on comedians.
Yeah, and because they say, is this guy going to, like, do his lines, or is he going to break away and improv?
Yeah,
did you ever get that kind of? Well, he just said he had to work with them.
So yeah, but, I mean, yeah. Mike, you've gone on auditions before, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah. I've already known that, I knew early on I was not going to make a living if I had to audition for shit. I'm not a good auditioner.
Same here.
I'm not, and I don't give a shit enough. Like, I don't have that mentality of it.
Uh-huh.
I would just read up on directors and writers and guys like Mel Brooks and the Woody Allens, and they were always making their own thing, you know?
Yes, those are great.
And so I just kind of was like, I got to figure out how to just make my own thing. And so that's where kind of like the entrepreneurial spirit came from. And I still to this day get calls about the Young American Tour all the time. Like, William Morris hit me up a year ago. They're like, what's up with this tour? I'm like, that was 7 years ago. They saw like a picture. They saw a picture of like me, Bobby, right, you know, and the whole crew. Taking pictures, you know, just like a photo shot of us. And he's like, what's up? I want to represent this. I'm like, well, good luck, because everybody's making big money on their own, and you're not going to get them. Oh. So,
well, you should start it again and bring me on board. I'll do it.
Yeah. Bro, I wish I had time, because I love that tour. Like, and it's a great name, you know. I've owned the name forever. And, you know, believe me, I can't let it die until it fully dies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know,
it's like
I was at McDonald's today, and Alan was telling me that he saw you live at the Live Nude Comedy Club.
It was a show.
Wait, who said that?
Alan, see, the co-host.
You know, when we were.
Oh, you saw me at Live Nude on Showtime.
Yes. On the Showtime, it was at the theater in North Hollywood, off of Magnolia in Lancashire. Well, great show.
Were you there that night?
You know what? I was. In fact, you'll know I'm there because Brody Stevens was a warm-up comic. Am I correct?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And who's better than Brody? I love Brody.
Oh, he's wonderful. You know, I thought, wow, it sounds silly. The comics are not going to be nude. But they had women that were just, I don't know where they got them. They were just freaking gorgeous. And it was, you know, I thought it was great. The old burlesque, you know, old burlesque did that. So I thought, hey, bring it back.
Yeah, you know, that was Whitney put that together. Whitney Cummings put
You're
that
kidding.
Together and asked me to be on it.
Wow. We saw her there, you know, and I thought, who put this together? You know, and I actually
Yeah, to... Whitney put it together. Wow. And that's where I was like, yeah, Whitney is cool, man. Like, I didn't really know her that well.
Yeah,
I was here at the gym and before she blew up, and I kind of maybe like hit on her maybe a little bit. I didn't really know like what her skill level was, and I didn't find out till later she was such a dope writer and performer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But but she put that whole thing together, and that was kind of
I didn't know that.
And it was interesting because the owners of the improv, like Levity Live, they tried to kind of own the Young American Tour at one point, and I had nobody schooling me in it, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I just didn't, I was like, no, I own it and no one else is going to own it. Mm. Well, obviously, if you say that, you stop getting booked in clubs that the improvs own. So they kind of like put a hold on me for a minute.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know? And they kind of shut it down, to be honest. And we started to go to theaters and like we did well in some like Detroit theaters and Chicago theaters. But it was just too much work for me to do without the support of like a company like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm a tough dude. You know, I'm hard headed in my own way too sometimes. So, you know, it's all learning. It's all learning. If I could go back, I probably would have said to Hartman, the owner of the Levity, I probably would have been like, okay, bro, like let's split it. You know.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then I probably would have got booked 30 more times.
Yeah. Well, see, one of the cool things I love about you is like you're a guy who makes what he wants to do. You know what I mean? Like, you did stand up, you wrote a movie, you're directing, you know? Any plans of, like, acting in a movie?
Oh, yeah. I put myself in both my movies.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. I'm not the star, but like I give myself like fun.
I meant the star. Like, have you ever like be a star of a movie? Like, write one where you're.
Yeah. I definitely would, man. And I feel like my acting is getting better, and if it's like written naturally for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, like my next movie, I'm gonna step up my role in it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because Mike Binder used to do that, but he always gave himself small roles, and it's like, you know, if you're, especially if the work is so good and you're directing it, like, give yourself the lead role, you know what I mean? Like Woody Allen.
Totally. Well, you know, it's because it's such a business that you gotta also think business, so I have no value, like, in the foreign sales market type of thing.
Yeah, I understand that, too.
You know, I don't want to just, like... When I give myself a full starring role, it'll be a real indie budget. You know what I mean? So I'm not like risking millions of dollars of other people's money.
Well, that's great.
To bet on me, you know.
That's good advice.
But you know, he's making a very important point. These indie features, you know, I used to do some script supervising, and I was always amazed at. Some of the kids out of USC and so forth, and it was credit card time for the budget. They would combine. I always thought it was sort of funny, you know, because, you know, they had to get the money, and so, you know, they just pool their credit cards, which I cannot do, not with mine.
Yeah, I mean, and, I've been fortunate to get the money from independent finance people.
That's great.
But, yeah, it's you know, people, they tap out their credit cards for passion projects, like... I just got hired to write another film after this one, and some of that money I'm setting aside because I have a passion short film that I want to shoot.
Sure.
So whatever you got to do to keep making things, it's like my advice is just make it. Just make something.
Yeah.
You know, for talking, auditioning,
thank you.
Just go shoot something that you think is good, and if it's good, people will respond.
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted to like maybe direct someone else's work, or do you just want to direct movies you've written?
You know, I haven't wanted to direct anyone else's stuff yet, but I would. But I know that once I took it over, I'd also be rewriting it.
Yeah.
Unless I found a script that was so amazing. But I'm not against directing somebody else's writing. But for now, my path seems like writing it, written and directed by. You know, written and directed by.
Yeah.
But I'm not against it.
Yeah, because like on my movie, I have no desire to direct, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, that's a good thing to know, because some people are like, I want to direct, and they just say it because they just say it.
Yeah.
But they don't realize what it entails.
Yeah.
So to just say it is like a dumb thing to say if you don't mean it, because, you know, you got a lot of people that are dependent upon, you know, you. So I'm a control freak a little bit, so I love directing, you know?
Oh, that's great.
And even though you're the director, you still aren't the money behind it. So you still got to deal with the studio, or you got to deal with the distribution arm, or you got to deal with the finance guys.
Yeah.
So as much power as I have, believe me, I lost a few strong battles, you know?
Sure.
We got another Twitter question. This has nothing to do with anything, but it's still a Twitter question. You want me to read it?
I mean, you tell me.
Well, I think it's kind of funny. Mike, who do you think is a worse person, Bill Cosby or O.J. Simpson?
People have been riffing on both. More current.
I'm
ones.
Just like, okay.
That's a great question. That's a worse person. I've never met either of them.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I can't.
No. It's starting to sound like Cosby's actually got more demons. You know?
But
if we're just going off of crime, I mean, who hasn't wanted to kill somebody? But to be like a consistent date raper, that's a little weird.
No, it's weird because we had a Bobby Slayton on the show a couple weeks ago, and we had a Twitter question that had nothing to do with him. And said, Bobby, which film do you think was funnier, Ghostbusters or Candy Shack? And he just gave us the weirdest look. He's like, was that a real Twitter question?
Yeah, that's funny. But, yeah. Yo, people got questions, man. There's some wild people out there. I like that you got listeners that are actually talking to us.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, last year we averaged about 500 viewers. Now we're averaging about maybe 3,000. So it's not great, but it's a start, you know?
Yo, that's cool, though. I love that, bro. That's great.
Yeah, man.
That's great.
So
you got to start. You got to, you know, the fun of all of it is just building, you know? Like, I started a podcast. CBS Radio offered me a podcast called to do for myself, called Stories That Need to Be Told. And I just started telling stories, kind of like what we're talking about, you know, just from the ground up stories. And the fun of all this shit is, and it's so cliche, but like, dig the journey. It really is the fun of it. I never had more fun in my life than, you know, getting my four buddies to go on the road and tour as the Young American Tour. Like,
yeah,
you know, hustling for that, negotiating. Yeah. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Sure. You're inspired.
You know, I was just taking whatever money the club offered us.
Yeah. So
I didn't even know what people got to headline then. You know, and I literally didn't. I was overpaying everybody. I probably lost $50,000 that year.
Wow. Oh, really? Wow.
We made money, but I didn't realize that, like, I was paying everybody like $1,800 a weekend.
Nice.
And I didn't realize that, like, people were getting $1,500 to headline.
Yeah.
So I was, like, overpaying all my dudes. And they didn't know either, though. None of us were headliners yet. None of us headlined. We were all fucking, you know, strong features.
Yeah.
You know, it was like Sebastian was working with Dice. Brett was doing his thing. I was opening for Saget or Joe Rogan at the time.
Oh wow.
It was just, we learned, it was trial and error, man.
You were opening up for Joe Rogan? That's cool.
Oh yeah, Joe Rogan, bro. He gave me my first major road break. He put me on the road for a year with him.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, man. I only met Joe Rogan once, and it was when I was a kid. And it wasn't a great memory, you know, because he was on this show called News Radio, and my uncle got like a guest starring, you know, five episode on it. So he was the bad guy on the show, and I was like 7 or 8 at the time, and I collect autographs. And I remember I asked Joe Rogan for an autograph, and I was a kid, you know, and he said no. And I was just like, oh, that kind of...
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And my uncle was a nobody back then, so he didn't really have any power to say, oh, you know, sign an autograph, you know what I mean? And then, like, years later, Joe Rogan's, like, one of the biggest stand-up comedians ever, you know? So it's like, I wish I got that autograph, you know?
Damn. But, you know, Joe's so wild, he probably had, like, a reason. He's like, listen, kid, you don't want to admire me, because if you admire me, then that means you're looking up to me, and you need to do your own. Like, he probably had some... He probably had some crazy idea of why. I can't see him just saying no.
Well,
he probably had, he's like,
yeah, well, you know, you got to keep in mind that this was 20 years ago. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Maybe he was having a bad day. Maybe he just, you know, I don't know. I just know I was a kid, and it was just, you know, when you're a kid and you ask somebody for an autograph, it kind of hurts when they say no. Rick Moranis actually said no to me once, too.
Really?
Yeah. So it was like,
no. Maybe it's your approach.
Well, I did ask Rick Moranis.
What's your approach?
Oh, it's just, oh, hi. Can I have your autograph?
That's really, really sophisticated.
Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
Yo, Groucho Marx always had that thing about, like, or I think it was, I don't know, if, you know, it was Woody Allen maybe. Like, he never wanted to meet his heroes again after. He asked Groucho Marx for an autograph, and he got denied, and he said he was, like, super rude to him.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, it stuck with him forever.
Yeah. Well, see, you know what? I'm, like, the hugest John Cusack fan, and I had an
Really?
Yeah, and I had an opportunity to meet him, and I decided not to, because I figured, what if he rejects me, too? I would not want to watch Con Air again.
Damn, man. Now you got, like, it's like talking, like, being scared to approach a girl now.
Oh, I'm terrible at approaching girls, man. I mean,
it's so funny. I actually played basketball with Cusack before.
Oh, really?
Like,
oh.
Yeah, I actually got into it a little bit with him one time.
Oh, tell us the story. I'm curious.
We played. He's from Chicago, and I was like I was performing in Chicago somewhere, and there was like a weird, it was summertime. There was like a weird, rooftop basketball thing. Mm-hmm. And don't ask me why he was there. It was like a health club. And I was checking John Cusack. And I'm from Detroit, so I kind of thought, I could play a little ball.
Hey, Mike, can you hold on to that story? We're getting a call. 1 second, all right?
Sure.
All right. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Hello?
Keith? Oh. Yes, hello?
Oh, hey, Brittany. Hold on. Mike's telling a John Cusack story. 1 second, all right?
Okay.
All right. Mike, you there?
Mike,
you there? Hey, Mike, are you there?
Mike. Yo.
Oh, okay, so... I don't know how to work these. Tell us the John Cusack story. So you're playing basketball with him.
I mean, it's not really much of a story. We were just playing ball, and he got a little chippy, and I got a little chippy, and then we just kind of squared off a little bit. But I heard he was like a karate expert or some weird shit.
Yeah.
But I'm from Detroit, so I don't really believe in karate experts in a street fight. You know what I mean? So. Nothing happened, luckily. He ends up being a nice guy.
Oh, he was a nice guy. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he actually wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Not a great basketball player.
That was going to be my question, yeah. A lot of these guys are good basketball players.
Yeah, right.
So, are you pretty good?
I got to be honest, bro. I'm a solid ball player.
Yeah?
Solid ball. Yeah, I mean, I played summer leagues in Detroit, a lot of my friends are kind of high-level athletes over there. So, I grew up playing sports. My dad was an athlete, played football in Arizona. Uh-huh. My brother played Division I.
Well, we got a call from...
I actually have a call. Can you hold on 1 sec?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right, hold on 1 sec. Let me figure this out.
This is great. We're getting a call.
Hey, Brittany, are you still there?
Yep.
All right. Do you have any questions for the great Mike Young?
No.
I don't even know how to work my phone. So forget my call.
That's amazing. He's going to say that a call.
So Mike, my friend on Facebook is calling a number, and I picked up, and she's like, "Oh, I really wanted to say hi, Mike, to Mike Young." So she's on the phone. She wants to say hi to you.
Say hi.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm great. Just podcasting away.
Woo! Yeah. On our pod unite.
All right, we got one last question for you, Mike, and then we'll let you go. First of all, thanks so much for doing it, man.
Yes, Mike.
Hey, no problem. I know. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate you talking about the movie. We're excited. Comes out in a week, so it's kind of like a crazy. It's about to be a crazy week.
I'm actually going to go see it.
Is there a premiere somewhere?
There is going to be a preview at the ArcLight on Tuesday night. I'll try to get you a ticket over there.
That's very sweet.
That would be sweet.
Keith, just hit me with your email again. I'll try to figure that out.
That's very nice.
But otherwise, it's iTunes. On demand at night.
Sure.
That would be cool. I would love to go if I'm free. Yeah. All right, Mike, so one last question.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to be, this movie, a stand-up guy, do you play one of the stand-up comedians?
No, I play a prisoner who's telling jokes in the jail cell when our guy gets locked up.
Yeah. Well, technically, that's kind of the same thing, right? You're playing a jokester.
Yeah, I mean, you got to start your stand-up somewhere. Why not start in prison?
All right, Mike, anything where the folks at home can reach you at, like Twitter or the Facebook?
Twitter at Real Mike Young. Real. And Facebook, I don't even know what I am there. I'm just me.
All right.
But check out my podcast, Stories That Need to Be Told. That's going to be on iTunes.
Oh.
And you can check that out now. And then just check out a stand-up guy starting next Tuesday. Go to iTunes, tell your friends about it, download it. It's going to be a fun movie. I promise you'll dig it.
And when are you going to be at the Improv at Brea?
With SAG at the end of the month, the weekend of the 24th, I'll be with SAG.
All right.
And I'm going to put that in my calendar and go to a show, buddy.
Try to swing by.
Come on down, for sure.
Yeah. All right, Mike, thanks so much for doing it, buddy. You're awesome.
Okay. Yeah, Mike.
You got it.
Fantastic.
Yo, thank you, fellas.
Good luck. We'll talk. Thanks. That's a great guy.
Thank you.
Bye. Man, that was... Oh, wait. Hey, Brittany, are you still there?
Unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding. I kid.
Yeah.
She's a comedian.
Yeah, she is. You know, I saw Brittany do stand-up.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. And she was hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany, tell Alan Lee. Tell Alan Lee your joke that you did when you did stand-up.
Oh.
What joke? Dude, No. I'm not talking up for this.
No,
don't be shy.
Alan's a manager. Tell him the joke. He'll tell you if you're funny.
Oh, I don't.
It's okay.
Tell him.
I'll let you validate me. I really just called to ask you a question.
Oh, what's the question?
I was just going to ask you to be my Valentine, so.
Oh.
No.
You're sweet.
All right. Enough with the cheese.
That's so sweet.
I would love to be your Valentine.
There you go.
All right, cool. But I can't cook, so I'm sorry.
All right. Well,
that is so sweet. Right here is the first.
I know. Wow.
Valentine's.
I would love to.
That's nice.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. Well, cool then. Oh. I'll let you get back to your podcasting.
All right.
All right. Well,
thanks for calling.
All right, have a good night. Bye.
Right. Bye. She's a sweet girl.
That's huge. You got these women crawling all over you.
Yeah. Man, that was cool. We had to end the show a little short because we wanted to say our proper goodbyes for season two.
Oh,
but
let's do it.
Man, Mike Young, that was awesome.
You know, I was so impressed with, once again, the when they come on the show, they're so generous with their experiences. I swear that it's like a training session.
Yeah.
And, you know. That was amazing. He really talked about what a road, a road trip is.
Well, directing. That's what you wanted, right?
Yes, and he did. He told me, he answered my question very clearly about directing comedians. And we know how hard comedians can be to direct.
Yeah.
And he said that because he knew them so well, even as persons like you and I know each other, so I could sort of direct you.
Well, you manage me. You kind of do direct me.
I do in a way.
Yeah.
But I'm not interested in managing you. I don't want to do that. But anyway.
I'm too much of a hassle.
Yeah, you're just rebellious, and I can't.
And I never listen.
No. I couldn't take it. Other than that, though, we can do the podcast together. But, you know, what you had some great – it was, as always, Keith, you know, this is Raise a Risk. We don't kid around.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. Man. And, you know, the ratings for this season have been so great, actually.
Oh, please.
If you've been a fan of the show during the whole series, the first season was, okay, this season's been great.
Yeah.
Very great.
But, I think that people are going back.
Yeah, people are going back.
To the first season.
They are.
Yeah. Because you know how it's
The first season we had writers, and then we were like, oh, that doesn't work because the show's about rifting. You remember that?
Yeah, that was interesting.
Like, it was stupid because we'd write all these jokes. We must have had like so many jokes, and they were
running these jokes. It was funny.
They were funny, but then like when we tried to rift them, it didn't come off as rifting. Yeah. And this season, a lot of people think we have written the jokes, but we actually haven't.
No,
we haven't written a single joke this
season.
We've
been faithful to riffing.
Yeah.
And people, and I love it.
Yeah, it's been fun. And then the guests have been huge, too.
Yeah.
And, man, that just made my night, man. We had Mike Young and then that girl.
Last week, we had the great Love Master. And that,
Oh, my God, that was a great show.
Yeah. And, Young was, I didn't mean to try to, get tickets out of him. I meant that, if there was going to be a premiere, and I knew the moment I said that, he generously said, let me see if I get you tickets.
That'd be awesome, dude.
And
I didn't think you were trying to get free.
I felt that was a little bit.
Oh, no, man. That would be cool, though. Yeah. I mean, that was awesome, dude. And the fact that he did this interview when, he could be doing a Colin Finn, Conan or something, really promoting it.
Well, they, it's people come in and they just are giving and, that was interesting what you asked about the movie,
I thought it was John Cusack story.
The stand-up guy. Uh-huh. Go on about
the,
that.
The John Cusack story was hysterical. Like, oh, basketball, man. You gotta be like, I'm not trying to be racist or anything, but you gotta be black or in very good shape.
No, I've never seen
play basketball.
Yeah, well, I've never seen
it's
that.
Because it's a game about sprint.
Speed,
you know?
Endurance.
And black people are very good at that. You know, the speeding and the, not like that, but like running back and forth. Like, they're so talented at that. And a white person, they run out of breath.
You said blind people. That's why I felt.
Blind people would be horrible at basketball.
Yeah, but you said blind.
White people could definitely be better than blind people.
I swear, you know, said that, it just blew my mind. I said, I've never seen blind people play basketball that well.
But you know what's weird about sports is you know, the speed, you know, and I don't know if that's just because how, like, God, you know, makes people or whatever, but, like, white people don't have a lot of speed. Like, in football, for example,
got a good point.
Well, most of the white players are, like, the big fat guards.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Most of them.
I agree.
There's a couple quarterbacks and there's a couple wide receivers.
Sure, but running backs, you say?
No, not at all.
No.
There's maybe a couple, but I mean, it's like sports is more for, you know, black people. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's awesome.
They have a movie coming out about Jesse Owens, the sprinter that won the Olympics in Berlin and ran and won the race in front of Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously there was a black man. Adolf Hitler was a white guy, and he was standing there, and Adolf Hitler was freaked out. He said, that guy wasn't supposed to win.
Yeah. We just got a thing that we're off air, a tweet. I don't know why.
A tweet? You mean nobody hears this part?
I don't know. Whatever. There's an iTunes thing. It doesn't matter. The show was over when Brittany asked me to be her Valentine's.
You were telling people about our year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So our year was awesome.
Very much so.
I'm really going to miss season two.
We should have a little party.
I also want to give a thank out to Ron, who's going to be a producer for season three. He's going to help get sponsors.
Yes.
And Ron does all these Facebook things. Yeah. And he's awesome.
A great guy.
Yeah.
I want to meet him. We've had a lot of talk on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, Alan Lee, what are your plans for the summer before we head out?
Well, you mean for the next month or so, I'm going to be doing whatever I can to improve my stand-up, and I hope to get on a show that I was already on. And I will be at the Haha Cafe, usually at their open mic with other comics. I'm going to be hanging out there if anyone wants to come by and buy me a drink. It will be at the Haha Cafe in North Hollywood, a comedy club. And just swing by on Saturday at about 7 o'clock. I'll be sitting on a stool there, and you'll catch me either on the stool or on stage.
All right. Well, guys, I'm Keith Reza. I'm going to be doing the stand-up comedy, and then we'll be back for season three sometime in the summertime, and we'll write some jokes for rifting. But, let's give it up one more time for Mike Young, guys. See his movie. It's called A Stand-Up Guys, right?
And it opens
with Bob Saget.
Yeah.
With Bob Saget.
With Bob Saget.
It opens on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
And also go see Mike at the Bray Improv with Bob Saget at the end of February.
At the end of February.
And follow Mike Young on Twitter at TheRealMikeYoung. I'm Keith Reza with my trusty sidekick,
Alan Lee.
And we're saying see you next year, guys.
Thank you, everyone.
That was fun, man.
You're listening to Reza Riffs with Keith Reza and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.